are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I bind the principalities of Memphis. I come against and I reverse every work of Satan. Yes. May your word have free course.
Yes, Lord.
Let your power manifest in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Please be seated on top of your enemies. Jesus' mighty name. Well, we want to thank God for this wonderful day. Today is Mother's Day, in case you did not know. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't believe it's a good place to clap? Is there anybody who made an appearance in this earth without a mother? Then when you stop clapping, then you are not celebrating your birthday. Everyone who came out of a tree, stop clapping. Now, if you didn't come out of a tree, let me see how much you appreciate what the mother who gave birth to you. By some scream, by some excitement, may you rise to your feet and give the loudest for mothers, mothers, mothers. What? What? Come on now. Oh, do it better. Do it better for... Now you may sit down. You look like somebody who's legitimate. Now you look legitimate. Because I thought you were, you know, a bad word. Illegitimate. Some people say they don't know their father, but they never say they don't know their mother. Because we are sure where we came from. We're not sure who formed us. I mean, who started it, but how it ended, it's always clear. God bless you, mothers. Hallelujah. And I want to use this opportunity to really celebrate all the ladies in this church. See, ladies are the source of fruitfulness. Adam, when he was born, he was made, did not qualify for the blessing until Eve came. Did you know that? Adam did not qualify. In fact, his very existence was labeled not good. Not good. Anybody who lives without a blessing is not good. Bible says God created everything. Everything was good. When he came to Adam, he said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I must make him a help, meet for him. Yeah, it's not good. So, you will realize that once the help was made, say, now you can qualify for the description. Even if God makes you, even if it was God who made you, and you don't allow for completion, it's not good. God can describe what he started. You don't allow him to finish. It is still not good. Listen, anybody here who you like starting things and you don't finish, you will not end up well. Yeah, you must pray for the spirit of the finisher. Even if it's God who started with you and you just are in the stopping, it will not work well. God himself will say it's not good. Because Bible says that this is the confidence that we have. That whatever he is, Philippians 1:6, whatever the Lord begins, he brings it to a perfect completion. He continues until the last. So nobody should be here who does not complete what and never finishes. See, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the coming. Be a finisher. And that's what women have that men don't always have. Finishers. Yeah. Men start. I pray you finish. In Jesus' name. Nobody should create a bastard in this world. Never, in Jesus' name. But be a finisher. So these days, what I tell my children is that, look, this job that you've done, you will get no reward. you'll get no reward because you didn't finish it. You see, so God is a finisher. And if we are created in the image of God, let's become finishers. Even God, when he creates something, he realizes it's not a finished product. He does not sit back and just enjoy. He continues until it is over. It is complete. Even if it is he who started and did it, he didn't think it was not going to be complete. He completes it. So he saw man and said, no, let me do something to complete it. And then he brought woman. I mean, when you look at the curves of a woman, you can see that this one was not created from the dust. No woman was created from the dust of this earth. Bible says God created man out of the dust. If you like, look, it's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It's there. Not woman. And the Lord God formed man. It wasn't a creator, it was formed from the dust of the ground. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of a man. Became a living soul. It's talking about one person. Without curves. Without softness. Without bumps and lumps. Full of bones. That's how we try so hard to get some muscle. We gym just to get. It's not even a bump. It's not even a curve. You know? But then, Bible says, and God made woman out of man. Same material. That's why when you die, you still go to dust. But same material. You see? So I always say that, you know, somebody says women were afterthought. Well, depends on what you think. But even if it's an afterthought, thought went into it. Thought for improvement. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you create something, even as an afterthought, to make complete what was not an afterthought, then the afterthought is very important. Was actually planned to make the before thought better. Clap for women in Jesus' name. But the key message to somebody here is that be a finisher. Stop starting things and stopping things. You will not prosper. Be a finisher. Tell somebody, be a finisher. That's a prophetic word for somebody. Be a finisher. Your life has been too much of incomplete. Every project you never finish. You have a lot of projects and then. Yeah. If you don't take care, you will go to heaven without a project that God told you to do. Be a finisher. Say, God forbid. Yeah. Finish the thing you started. Some of you have gone to school, you never finished. Yeah. Some of you have been in a relationship, you never married the person. Started a course you never finished. Started a project you never finished. Started a process you never completed. But that's not the message for today. Today, I just want you to know that God is a mother. Clap for the Lord Jesus as well. We always hear about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's nowhere in the Bible that says God's a mother. But we know that the El Shaddai means the mighty breasted one. All right. So always remember that God has attributes of a mother. How do I also know? Another reason is that he created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. So if he's created an image and he created male and female, it means there are some features. Even jealousy is a woman thing, isn't it? God is a jealous God. Amen. Now, so what I'm trying to tell you is that remember that don't look at God in the hard, bony features of a man alone. But you see how mothers can really massage and tender and comfort. God is like that. Bible calls him in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Bible says, but the God of all comfort, after that you've suffered a while, he will perfect you. He will establish you. He will strengthen you and he will settle you. To him be all glory and honor forevermore. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So that's God for you. I want you to understand that God is soft and tender towards you and wants you to be blessed and takes care of you. You know, we've been sharing about something. And I want us to continue in a little different direction. And That is in Luke chapter what? Living with the innkeeper. Luke chapter 10 from verse number 30. I'm going to read and I'm going to show you. We've been talking about the innkeeper, but now I want to talk about the inn. Bible says that, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Next. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Please, when you see somebody struggling, don't pass on the other side. Oh, priest. Likewise, the Levites, the Christians who were mature and shepherds. Where's Prince? Okay. When he was in at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn. Somebody say an inn. And took care of him. Give me New King James. And on the following day, he departed, New King James. And he took out 2 pence and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more that you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Hallelujah. Now, this is the story of the Good Samaritan and who found somebody. You realize, I say, you see that people treat, when people are in trouble, that's when you see the real friends. If you haven't been in trouble before, you don't know who your friends are. Never call people friends until adversity shows up. Yeah. Never call people friends. Call at best acquaintances. Never marry anybody without provoking the person to bring in trouble. Never. Test. Bible says, test all things and hold fast to that which is good until you are in trouble. Where you say, look, can I come and perch? Can you give me a little place in your living room to come and sleep? And let's hear what the answer will be. Can you, I don't have a job, but can you every month, can you at least give me some $200 when I find a job out and see what the answer will be? So in life, there are 3 groups of people. There are people, abusers, who beat you and strip you of all your raiment. People abusers, people you meet on your way. This guy met thieves who beat him, stripped him of his self-confidence, stripped of virginity, stripped of everything. People abusers. Not that they won't help you, they will actually extort from you, leave you less than they found you, worse. And they left him half dead. By the time some people leave you, you are dead. Your money is gone. Your dignity is gone. Your virginity is gone. Your confidence, your everything is gone. Thieves are abusers, but not only thieves. Christian abusers exist. Sometimes when you interact someone, by the time you finish, the things they've told you, you are less than. You feel so down. They're abusers. That's why words can be abused. You're abusing me. Words are bringing me down. Not just physical beating. Yeah. You go to some homes, and then you sit down, even as you're resolving an issue. The words that are flipping here and there. Wow. Abusers. Then there are people ignorers, people avoiders, who they come, they see, and then they walk away. Like most Christians. They will not abuse you. You tell them their problem, they will... Oh, I see. All right, let's pray. Okay, God will make a way. Who says God will? You are the person God has sent. Make a way. Have you seen any angel bringing whatever? We don't even have the eyes to see. God creates angels through people. Bible says, and it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shall men give, not angels give. Christians become angels in Jesus' name. Don't avoid people. Don't avoid people's problems. You see somebody who needs help, then there are people helpers. That's what Jesus wants us to be, that compassion. And the Bible says he brought this person to the inn and gave to the innkeeper. And we learn that is the church. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He had nothing to do with the situation, but he poured oil and wine. That is the blood and the Holy Spirit. That's the starting of your Christianity. Yeah. When you get born again, the blood cleanses you from all sin, sets you in reconciliation with God. And then the Holy Spirit gives you what it takes to be a Christian. Bible says, if any man had not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Romans 8, 9. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Christianity. So Jesus pours blood, washes the sins away, pours oil to equip you to be a Christian. You can never be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Then after that, he carries you on his own donkey to the inn. Do you know what that means? Somebody who is already his, Christians, when you are carrying somebody to church, you are like God's own donkey, already in obedience to Christ. A donkey is controlled by the rider, by the owner. It's like a horse. So Christians, well, that's what, he carried him on his own beast. When you see somebody coming to church that you are bringing, you are like God's chariot, God's car, God's donkey. God's transportation medium, spiritually. Transporting people to the kingdom. That's what a Christian is supposed to be. Yeah. And it is Christ himself that is carrying people to the church. So every time that I see somebody who's not an unbeliever that I had compassion, I know God is working in me. And no Christian should sit back and just enjoy yourself. If you don't have, you avoid unbelievers. You are a people avoider. If you are people who just judges unbelievers and leaves them, you are a people abuser. But if you have compassion on unbelievers, the Bible says when Jesus saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. And his prayer was, let there be more laborers. Amen. So he carries the people. Somebody speaks to somebody or somebody brings. And like you, the first day you went to church, you came to church, somebody brought you. Somebody invited you. That person was God's donkey. But the person who was actually taking care of, doing the work, was Christ. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. So you realize that that's what happened, and he brought to the inn. The inn is a church. The inn is a church. The innkeeper is the pastor. And he said he give whatever it takes to take care of the church members is given to the pastor. The pastor has no ability of his own except what God makes him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul was saying that we are laborers together with God. God is at work in pastors, working with him. In fact, God said, the last part of Mark, he said that wherever the disciples went to preach, he worked with them. He worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. Put your hands together for Jesus' strategy. So God and pastors work together to take care of the sheep. Yeah, working with them, working with them, working with them, and confirming his word with signs following. But what I'm saying is in 1 Corinthians 3, 9, he says, we are laborers together with God. We are working with God. And then he said, Paul is speaking as a pastor. I said, look, I, Paul, as pastors, we are laborers. God is working with us. And you, Christians, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Husbandry is gardening. You are God's garden. You are God's building. God is building you up. God is tending you as a garden, beautiful, nice flowers, watering you every day, planting things, putting manure, putting insecticides, rodenticides, all kinds of things to prevent evil from affecting you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. He's working on you. He's working on you. He's working on you. Every day he's working with his word, with his Holy Spirit, with sometimes rebukes, corrections, encouragement, examples. You can only be better. You can only be upgraded when God is working on you. A garden that is tended by God can only get better. Look at how more beautiful you are since you came to church. Oh, put your hands together for the work and for the next flower sitting by you. Look how beautiful that person is. And you look at yourself. Tell somebody, continue to stay in the garden. Don't unplug. Now, it is not just the gardener, but it is also the garden. You might have the very good gardener, but the soil is terrible. But the temperature is terrible. But the climate, it's not every climate that can grow apples. So God does not only work with the pastors. He works with the inn. He took to a specific inn. And then there he said, let's take care of this inside this inn. That's a mother's heart. That's a mother's heart. When they say housekeepers, I know many men do very well with keeping the home. But Bible says that women are the home keepers of the home. Do you know it's in the Bible? Keepers of the home. So any woman who says, I'm not going to cook, you don't know what the Bible says. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Bring it up. Keepers of the home. It's in Timothy. I think it's Titus. Titus. I think it's Titus chapter 3. There about. Look, there are women that teach the good. Titus chapter 2 from verse 4. From verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not being false accusers, not giving too much wine. Missus drinker, teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. Then, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, and to do what? To be discreet, chaste, keepers of home. Clap for Jesus. So, brothers, everybody has a responsibility. You need to be lovers, they need to be keepers. But it's good to learn each other's job. So, me, I can cook, only that my wife is too good at cook. So, there's no point to cook. Now, we're training the young people, the young children, how to cook. How they cook, at least by lunchtime, they are good. Dinner is the problem. But know how to do breakfast now, they know how to do jollof or something. But, you know, soup and things is a problem. But they'll get there in Jesus' name. Amen. Keepers of the home. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God creates the home so that you can be kept. You see that? Keepers of the home. There needs to be home. We don't live in houses. We live in homes. A house is the four walls. But a home is an atmosphere. A home is the relationships. Let's try to keep the inn a relational inn. Not just a house. Some of you come to church and you treat the church just as a house. You don't make it sound as if God is looking for relationships. You can buy a house. It doesn't make it a home. On the other hand, you may not even have a house, but you can have a home. Yeah. Look, 2 days ago, I saw something that amazed me. And I told my son, watch this. I saw in front of a church, there's this guy, homeless guy with a dog, who was there, had just organized himself with a dog, feeding the dog. The dog just loving him. I said, that's so beautiful. So we went to the mechanic shop and we came back. When we came back, a lady had arrived, the guy's wife. Yeah. Sitting there. And they were playing. Chatting, smiling. I said, I've gone to very great mansions. This kind of relationship is not there. Let's make the inn habitable. Relational. Love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A mother's role is to keep the home. Let's all be little mothers bringing relationships. It's not just, I get busy, but come on, it's not just business. When a father says, I've worked, I've given you all that it takes. No, no, it's not just your money. We want your relationship. We want your heart. We want your chatting. We want your show of affection. That's what a mother does. A mother is always there, creating a home, food, hospitality, medicine, chatting. My wife knows far more about the children than I do. It's this time that they've grown that, you know, they realize that, you know, mommy doesn't know anything about men. So now we drive a lot more. We have a lot of relationship. We chat. We send texts to girls together. Hey, clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a relationship. The inn must be well kept. The church must be love. The inn is created. The ingredient you need is love. Bible says in John 13, verse 34, one commandment I give you. Only one. Not two, not three. That ye love one another. He said, I am the innkeeper. But I want to create a building. But one command I give you. That you have love. Even as I have loved you. That you love one another. Yeah. Let me show you how to be what I am. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, what do you think has kept the people together? Love. What a homekeeper is the keeper. Keep the people. Keep the home. Keep the relationship. A mother does that. A mother keeps the home. Keep it going. Food so that they will come back to eat. Laughter, hugs, so that they will come back and want it. A mother is forever. Keep the home. Keep her. Who have you kept? Or perhaps who have you lost? When you come to church and somebody is not there, do you call Auntie Wilmina to say, why are you not here? Or if you didn't come, do you call to say, you know, today it was not good because when I woke up, I was shocked. It was 11:22. Keepers of the home. An inn is an environment of love. By this, then John 13:34, he says that, as I've loved you, you love one another. Then verse 35, he says that, by this shall all men know that I found a home, that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another, one to another. Love one. One to another. Not one to himself. People are lovers of themselves. Selfish. When you have love one to another, not one to self. Clap for the Lord Jesus. This is how to see a Christian. If you have love one to another. Love one to another. When the direction of your love is to another, you have become a Christian. Yeah. One to another. One to another. Not one to self. What am I going to get? As for me, I am like God, Trinity. Myself, I, God the Father, God the Son, God, the three is one. I, myself, and me. Love one to another. One to another. Christianity. You want to see a Christian? See the direction of the person's love. If it is inward, that's not a Christian. I can assure you. You can bet it. Jesus said, this is the way. By only this. By this. Not by anything. By this. You want men. As for God, he looks at her. But men, the way to find out, by this shall all men know. Even an unbeliever will know. That you are my disciples. If you have love one to another. Hey, you are quiet. You are quiet. Mother's Day, you can't be quiet. Love one to another. And in. That's the in. That's the in. That's the in. The in is by definition a place that invites you to stay. It doesn't even necessarily have to be. An in is not something, okay, I created a home, all this. No. It's inviting. It's about people. It's not about things. Amen. Now, the Bible says that his house is an important thing. And I'm going to share with you a very short aspect of God's house that will amaze you. And next week we'll continue. Psalm 65 verse 4. The Bible says here, Psalm 65 verse 4, that blessed is the man whom you, God, you choose and cause to approach unto you, that person may dwell in your courts or your inn. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of your holy temple. There must be goodness in God's house. There must be goodness in God's holy temple. We must be satisfied, happy. Yeah. You must enjoy each other. When I see, Sister Frisette, I must be excited, not angry and bitter. Amen. Amen. How many will go to a place where whenever you go there, there's bitterness? No. Look, a church is a sanctuary. It's a protection site from the evils of the world. The inn. And Jesus Christ said, we should use his provision to create the inn. He said, whatever is needed there, he provides it. We should use scriptures, love, discipleship, help, faithfulness, kindness, all these things, joy. These are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the offshoots of when Christ's Spirit is inside of you. What is expected? Of course, we are work in progress. You know, even though we're work in progress, that's where having compassion on one another, understanding one another, forgiving one another, overlooking one another's issues. So they don't dress like you, so because of that, they can't come to the inn. They are the different class, so they can't come to the inn. What is your class? Which grade are you? Are you still in grade school? Why do you say, do you know my class? So you finished school. Why are you still classifying your class? Anybody that talks about class, you are degraded. It means you are not mature. Because students, they are not mature. Any, you know my class. Anytime you hear that, you can see that person is immature. It's in grade school. Still needs a lot of teaching. Oh, I thought you would clap your hands together. Class should not matter when it comes to church. It's the only place where everybody is in the same class, having the same lessons, the same teacher, the same course. Nobody graduates. It's the only place in the whole world where mother, father, children, they are in one class. One class. There are no classifications. Last week, I taught you. I brought you 84-year-old grandmama. I brought you, how old is goodness? 6-year-old granddaughter. I beg you. The only place. And yet, everybody gets his portion. No classes. We're all in same grade. So even the use of the word class, it's out of place. Lisa, if you think because of your accent you are in a different class, you are in the wrong class. Anything that brings schisms, differences. No. That's why he gives the same spirit. The same blood is needed to make you the Christian. The same Holy Spirit. Bible says one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father in all. When you see the children in the children, it's not because they use the same Bible, the same scriptures. It's just because sometimes disturbances and all. That's why. But it's the same book, the same textbook. Yeah. Class is determined by the class is determined by the books. When you move from one grade, another book is used. If the same book is being used for the baby and for the mature, even for the priest, you can tell it we are one. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ask somebody, who typed you? What's your type? Who classed you? What's your classification? So, the Bible says that when you come to the house of the Lord, you are in an inn. You're being given treatment that will keep you going until Christ comes. He said, everything that you need, I'll give it to you. When I come back, I'll give it to you. So Christ wants you to be there until he comes back. If you are the reason why somebody is not comfortable in the inn, there's a problem. Whatever you can do to make somebody comfortable is worth it. That's why the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. So me, the kids are my children, my brothers and sisters. My grandparents, my brothers and sisters. I have a few gray hair, they have more gray hair. I have a lot of black hair, the little ones have more black hair. No problem, I'm in between. I jump here, I go down, I'm everywhere. When you see me dancing, this play, you saw the play? Yeah, we did it. Together, by God's grace. Yeah, you should see me. I acted every role for them to see. Yeah. I personally, ask them, personally sat in. But I called one person, I told one person, as they go, the next time, if you don't smile, you won't sing again. And they will smile. Yeah. I was with them on when? Tuesday. I was with them last Saturday. Last Sunday. I was going to be with them yesterday, but I had to travel to go and preach. So I was with him. It was not bad. By God's grace. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Condescend to men of low estate. You finish. Chat with the children. Hug somebody. Love somebody. Create an inn. Keep the home. Today is Mother's Day. Be a mother to somebody. Have a smile. Have a touch. And when they touch you, what do you mean? What do you mean? Are you a? Why am I a mosquito? Why are you running from me? The house of God. The house of God. And I'm going to read something to you that will make you understand that this house is the best place to be. Do you know that the church as it stands now was described in the Old Testament? Did you ever know that? And it was for people who were backsliding, like Jacob. So when you come to the church and you see backsliders and people who are not the best, that's their home. That's the inn. Jacob chapter 28, verse number 10. Genesis. Yeah, we'll read that and we'll close. Chapter 28 and verse. We have a lot of food and celebration after this, but I read this and we'll go. Genesis. And Isaac called Jacob from verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran and lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Do you know what was happening? Jacob was running away from his brother. He's gone to steal. A thief, a supplanter. He had gone to steal. The church, you'll be surprised, is made up of thieves. Tricksters. Even those of us who are not thieves, there are issues. Some of us are proud. Some of us are unforgiving. I mean, all kinds of vices. So Jacob was a thief supplanter, but you may not be a thief. You may be a people avoider. So he was running away. Most people that go to, they are running away from something. When they meet you, don't run away from them. Don't be like the Levites, the priests. Pass the other way. Prodigal's son was sinful, but he was embraced by the father. Can you do that? Will you do that? Will you be mother? So he dreamed. Somebody was running away from Beersheba to Haran. Dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven. A sinner has a dream that connects to heaven. God is interested in unbelievers. Clap for the Lord Jesus. In the sinners. Don't give them a judgmental eye. And you, sinner, repent from your sins. The top of it reached heaven. That tells you that there's a distance to heaven. But at least there's a connection. Thank God that I'm connected. I may be far from heaven, but I'm still connected to God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I may be far. Maybe you are in the middle. I'm down, but I'm still connected. God is able to make all things happen. If God didn't think I could reach him, he wouldn't put a ladder there. Ladder means I need help, and he's given me help. Way to climb, and he's put angels out. Look at that. He dreamed. Behold, a ladder was set on the earth. The top of it reached heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Helping up and down, carrying things, guiding. Then, the verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, God of Isaac. The land where you lie, I will give it to you and your seed. Maybe in the church. The church, I've given it to you. That's your church. Clap for the Lord. That's your church. Where you sit, you may feel that you don't qualify. There may be stones. You are not comfortable because you are sleeping on stone, but I've given it to you. And your children. It's a family thing. I've given it to you. I've given it to you. I brought you there. I've given it to you. And I'm here. I am the Lord. It may not look it. It may look like stones, but I am the Lord. I am there. It's yours. Take it. Tell somebody, take it. That's your place. That's your house. That's your house. That's your place. Don't let anybody move you. It's your possession. Where you are lying, that's it. There should be a time that when somebody comes and says, hey, Auntie Wamina is coming. You better, Doris is coming. This, you know when Doris comes, this is a place. I don't want trouble. The land that you lie, to thee I will give it, and to your seed. That means that as you are here, God is not expecting you to be here alone. Your seed is not only necessarily your biological child, that you become fruitful. Somebody will come to the place that you own through you. You'll be a soul winner. You'll be a soul winner. You'll be a bridge for somebody. That you'll be planting seeds that will bear fruit and fill the same place. Then verse 14 says, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. If you are here, you don't have seed. You are not being a fruitful Christian. Dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. God wants every Christian to have fruit everywhere you go. Unless you don't go there, your impact must be felt. God was prophesying about the future of the unbeliever, about the future of the Jacob, about the future of the sinner who dared to come close to God. If God accepts me, who are you to dismiss me? If God be for me, who can be against me? Tell somebody, God has accepted me. Don't avoid me. God has invited me. Don't avoid me. Spread abroad. And in thee and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It takes a sinner who is converted to affect the whole world. Yeah. Jesus could not have affected the world without sin. He needed to be sinful. That's why our sins were poured on him, so that he could save the world. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Amen. That we may become the righteousness of God in him. Then, verse 15, the Bible says, and behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all the place where you go, and I'll bring you again to this land. No matter what backsliding you go through, no matter what problems you go through, one of the things that you should never dismiss is the house of God.
Best assurance.
And I'll bring you again to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done that which I've spoken concerning you. Do you know God has a plan for you? Do you know that when you are in a home, the parents have a plan for you? The cooking is for you to grow. The education is for you to grow. The spanking is for you to mature. The school fees, the screamings, everything has a purpose to keep you, for you to do well. So that everything that is spoken about you will come to pass. That prophetically you will do well in Jesus' name. And then he said in verse 16, verses, Jacob awaked. That means now you come to the realization. Out of his sleep. Most people, when you come to church, you are asleep. You don't even know what is going on. Oh, yeah. Some of you, not only spiritually, but literally, you sleep. Bishop Dad, the first time he went to an honor, he slept throughout and he was changed. Oh, yeah. How many have never slept in church before? Never. Then you should come and preach. Because I have. The man was asleep and he awoke. God can speak to you in your sleep. Amen. And he says, surely the Lord is in this place. There comes a time when the sinner comes to the house of God, realizes, wow, this is the house of God. Initially, they play. Many people play church. Just like kids, they play. But at a time, they mature and they work. They're not playing anymore. Kids, when they are properly nurtured by a mother, it's just a matter of time. They will stop playing. I'm surprised. I have so many videos. Toy Story. Well, mention them. Shrek.
Aladdin.
Smirk. Little Mermaid. All of them. I'm surprised. These boys don't even look there. They used to play with it.
They have woken up.
Tell somebody, don't worry if I'm asleep. I will wake up. Have patience with me. I may have my issues, but it's just a man. You are awake. Since you are awake, just help me with your eyes. Help me. Have patience. Since you are awake, keep me. I'm getting there. When I wake up, you see me. Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in. All the doubt will go away. All the doubt will go away. The Lord is in this place. I was the one who didn't know it because I was sleeping. Many people who behave funny, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know that they are treating God in a particular way. They don't know that, I mean, that somebody's in church and is watching pornography at the back. They don't know. Give them time. They will wake up. Somebody comes to church late. At the time they finish, communion is going on. And allow them to come in. They will wake up. They will wake up. I said they will wake up. Don't try and push them out. They will wake up. And when they wake up, they will tell you, the Lord was in this place all along. I was the problem. I just didn't know it. And please don't punish me for my ignorance. I was asleep. How can you ask me questions about what happened when I was asleep? Yeah. I know that I was in a bad relationship with somebody, but I was asleep. I was snoring. Do you know sleepwalking? Somebody can slap you in your sleep, but he didn't mean it because they were sleepwalking. Many times my wife has kicked my head in her sleep. Don't tell her, though. I'm sure I've also responded quite a few times in my sleep. But we wake up and then, hi, darling. That's how it should be. Hey, darling, that's how it should be. Sometimes I wake up, I sleep one side. When I wake up, I'm on another. He had reorganized me to another place because I was disturbing her too much. That's how we should be. Helping one another. That's the in. Somebody is about to wake up. Somebody is about to wake up. That's why mothers are. They're always forgiving. No problem. It will be okay. She'll be better. Sometimes you see mothers. You can even say, this is a terrible mother. Why? Because they often seem to be loving the most foolish child, spending more time. Like the prodigal son's father, the proper child, you never killed the fattened calf ever to invite a friend. The one who was a fool was the one that you killed. But that's a mother's heart. He understands what it takes to raise a sleeper. Otherwise, you kill. If you don't wake the sleeper early, they will die. So everything possible. It may even sometimes look unreasonable. He don't even remember what you're doing. He doesn't even care what you're doing. And you still keep doing this. You still keep loving the child. Yes, because he's a sleeper. Unless you have understood. Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love towards us. And he died for us. Why do you think I'm still pastoring you? We are not that perfect. You know the things you've done to me sometime? You know. Half dead. Half awake. But I stomach the nonsense. It's because I understand. You will wake up. You will wake up. You will wake up. Yeah. Kathy, you will wake up. Your husband will wake up. Surely the Lord is, and they will say, surely, no doubt. And I was the one who didn't know it. And look at what happened, verse 17. And, hey, sister girl.
Wake up.
And he was afraid, or he reverenced and said, how dreadful is this place, this inn. This is none other than the house of God. I will stop misbehaving. And it's a gate of heaven. Somebody is about to give a testimony. Somebody's eyes are going to be open. Somebody's going to get a revelation one day. This Benson boy was in a gang. But we didn't throw him out. This my son, Asempa, was a fool, but we didn't throw him out. Kwame was a tattler. We didn't throw him out. Pastor Daniel was a pimp, a real pimp. But look at him, a pastor. Look at him, a pastor.
I was asleep.
Look at him. He was asleep. He was asleep. That's what the inn is supposed to take care of people until Christ comes. Whatever it takes. If they were well, Christ would not have brought them to the inn. If they were well. Yeah. If they were well. This Aki sitting there that is smiling nicely. The fight he has fought with me. Arguments. She was a sleeper. Today, look at her. Tell somebody. I will wake up too. Just have patience with me. I will wake up. Junior, don't worry. I'll wake up. Aaron, there's a wake time. So long as you're not dead, you will wake up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Just don't die in your sleep. Just don't die in your sleep. And sometimes allow us to wake you up.
Amen.
Because otherwise you'll be kicked out of your job. Sometimes allow us to wake you up. Come on, wake up. Yeah, and then because I'm waking you up and I hurt you, do not just have an attitude towards me because I try to wake you up. Wake up. Sometimes kick. Sometimes pour water. Give me some water. Pour water. Open it. Pour water. It's part of the process. You'll be offended. Wake up. You should not have an attitude. Wake up. It's help. I'm only helping you. I'm only because you can die. Who can die? Wake up.
Wow.
A word can come to wake you up. You don't say, no, I'm not coming anymore.
Wake up.
You can be addressed that. Stop that nonsense. It's a wake up call. You don't crash the clock or crash the person who said the wake up call. Otherwise, you can lose your job.
You miss your flight.
And look at that. He said, how dreadful. How awesome is this place? This is how amazing. It's none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
One way.
You're in the right place. Look at what he did, verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. The guy has woken up. Took the stone that he had put for his pillow. Set it up as a pillar. Poured oil. upon. He has become spiritual. Anybody who pours oil is now spiritual. He understands oil. He understands the power of the Holy Spirit. He understands that there's a power, a specific power that's needed. Now, he's consecrating the church. This is a beautiful place. The oil is befitting. I'm going to be a part of the oil pourers, workers, shepherds, anointed, using the oil. That's a trajectory of a sinner who's brought to the inn. If we can have patience with them, if we can help them, if we can love them. May you be a lover. May you be a lover. May you be a helper. You want to have the rest of the water? That's fine. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rest your feet. Wow. Tell somebody what a word.
We believe the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.